Oh, absolutely. It makes such a difference. I was lucky enough that I was able to go to most of Ireland's games during the pandemic. And the difference between being at last year's Six Nations games and the previous autumn's games to November, when we had, that full house at the Aviva Stadium for the New Zealand win, it's chalk and cheese. It gave the team inspiration. I don't know if it ever really came across how weird the stadiums were during the full lockdown. Being able to hear the players' voices, up in the upper tiers of the West Stand, and how weird it was for them, to have to try and generate their own atmosphere on the pitch was just such a strange, weird thing that we hope we'll never have to go back to. And yeah, all indications are we're going to be full house in 2 weeks' time for Ireland Wales in the Aviva. And I think it'll be a real cause for celebration for everyone to be back there. I know the last couple of internationals were all in front of crowds as well, but it was looking a bit doubtful up until recently. And I think it does actually have a material impact on the players and will give Ireland a better chance of succeeding in this game. It'll make life harder when they go to Paris and London if they're playing. London will definitely be full. We expect Paris as well to be a big crowd. That makes life harder as well. But you want to be in big stadiums. You want people to be able to go and see their heroes play. And yeah, it'll make a big difference, and it'll make this tournament all the more enjoyable and exciting as we look ahead to it.
They certainly are. And let's just have a look at the squad itself. It's almost remarkable by how unremarkable it is, really. You were pointing out in your column this week that 22 of the 23 players that were involved in that New Zealand game will be available, and the only other one there is James Lowe, who's got an injury. So not a whole lot of bolters this time around, but I guess the big story is Mac Hansen coming in. Can you explain his eligibility? He's an Australian, of course, originally, but have we essentially swapped one exciting winger for another?
Yeah, well, like, James Lowe or Jameson Gibson-Park, who qualify on residency, having spent their 3 years in Ireland. Hansen is Irish qualified through a grandparent, I believe. I'm not sure the exact parameters, but he was Irish qualified when he arrived. He has a direct line to Ireland, and one of the reasons he was recruited was because of that. So, he's like Finlay Beelam or Rob Herring, who both have qualified for Ireland in the same way. He was in November, didn't get a game, but he was called in late and trained with the team for a couple of weeks. So he's got a bit of a sense of the system. I don't think it's like for like in terms of, I don't see Mac Hansen coming into the team for James Lowe. I think he's got a bit of work to do to get ahead of Keith Earls, Robert Balakoon, Andrew Conway, and Lowe on the wings for the first two games in November. Then it was Balakoon and Lowe. So there's a bit of chopping and changing to do, trying to fit who goes on the left, who goes on the right. I think the two Munster guys would have been considered to be ahead, next in line, Conway and Earls, but Balakoon up in Ulster has been absolutely sensational recently. Andy Farrell really, really rates him. So Hansen, I think, can make an impact, and certainly with ball in hand, he's an incredibly exciting player, one of the most enjoyable players to watch in Ireland right now. Bit of work to do in his defensive game, a little bit like James Lowe, and I think being around the camp will only help him in that regard. But I wouldn't expect him to come in and have an impact straight away. I don't think he'll be involved against Wales. Obviously, could be very wrong. Big plans for him, but I think he's got a bit to go before he goes straight into the team as a replacement for James Lowe. I think he's down the pecking order. There are quite a lot of good wings available. Jordan Armour is another player we haven't mentioned, I haven't mentioned, who played very well for Leinster against Montpellier last weekend. So there's good talent there. Balakoon just brings something different, though. He's got incredible pace, and I think he's going to have a big role for Ireland in the Six Nations.
And it is a day ending in Y, so we're already talking about the succession plan for Johnny Sexton. He's already got his 101 caps there for Ireland now, and he'll be captain of the team going into this series. But, we do have to start looking ahead because Johnny won't be around forever. It looks like Jack Carty might be number two at the minute. Himself and Joey Carberry are in the mix there. But is Jack Carty number two as we speak?
Well, just based on fitness, I think that you would have to say that. Joey Carberry and people probably, realized, he broke his elbow, he fractured his elbow in that win over Wasps about 3 weeks before Christmas and hasn't played since. He's not in the Munster team for the game on Sunday against Wasps again. He and the rest of the Ireland squad will be in Portugal next weekend, so they won't see URC action before the tournament kicks off. Whereas Jack Carty has been playing well week in, week out in a good Connacht team who, they lost to Leicester last weekend, but they've been playing very good rugby. He's been central to that. He's battle-hardened. He's making good decisions. He's learning it week on week, whereas Carberry's in the treatment table and he's not getting the chance to impress in that way. So, like, Joey Carberry has credit in the bank, came off the bench and saw that New Zealand game home very, very well. He was starting to find some form before that injury. And I think if you were laying out an Excel spreadsheet of if everyone was fit, what's the pecking order. I think Carberry is still ahead of Jack Carthy on that. But for this Six Nations, and I think Andy Farrell really, like, you know, you want to win it every year, but I think, you know, he hasn't won any silverware with Ireland yet. And this is a real opportunity for him to go and do that. He has to pick based on fitness and form. Jack Carthy is the fit and in form out half, probably more so than Johnny Sexton, who only, you know, made his return last week off the bench against Montpellier and starts against Bath tomorrow. Sexton obviously has more credit in the bank than anyone else and is the captain of the team. So there's no doubt that if he's fit, he'll play. But Carthy, you know, if Sexton goes down, Carthy will be the next man in. I think he'll be on the bench against Wales. And Carberry just has to get some fitness into himself and prove himself that way. I guess what Carberry brings is the ability to play fullback. If he's on the bench, he can come in there as well. Possibly more of a game changer in that way. But Carthy playing really well and deserves a shot. I think, you know, he's done everything that Andy Farrell could have asked of him. And it would be a great story for him to come off the bench against Wales and lead Ireland home. And kind of, you know, he hasn't played since the World Cup in 2019. His last cap was against Russia. He was the fall guy for that that Argentina game. Sorry, not Japan game, rather than Argentina. Be a nice story if he was able to kind of have some redemption in Ireland colours again. And, you know, he's young enough to have a role in this World Cup cycle as well.
He's certainly one of the more exciting players on this Ireland team as well. So hopefully he will be able to cement that place. And I think a lot of people, both in Connacht and elsewhere in this country, would be delighted to see him get that chance and take it with both hands. Your colleague, Keane Tracy, has a story today saying that Leo Cullen has allayed fears surrounding the fitness of Tadhg Furlong. It seems like he could have played for Leinster this weekend. So the injury that forced him to miss the majority of that record-breaking Montpellier game doesn't seem to be that serious.
Certainly they're playing it down and, you know, he's in the squad. So there's a couple of players. I think there's six or seven members of the 37-man squad who aren't playing this weekend. I didn't like the way Furlong went off last week, the way they kind of, you know, he pulled up, the physios came on, they got him to try and do a few squats on one leg, you know, they tested the calf out, didn't like it. And while he was on the pitch afterwards, I just wonder about that inability to put the weight through the leg. So, you know, with such a short period of time between now and the Six Nations kicking off, that's definitely a concern. And you go back to last year, you know, Tadhg was struggling with a calf injury. You know, it was kind of the back of his leg, you know, between his back, his hamstring and his calf, but it seemed to settle into his calf as where the big problems were. So we don't know if it's related. There's always a certain level of, you know, they're quite opaque with their injury updates about Leinster and Ireland at times, especially when it comes to their most important players. So I think we'll only know whether Tadhg is fit and available when we see him training in Portugal next weekend and when we see him named in the team to play Wales. And if he doesn't make it, it creates an awful problem for Ireland, because while their first choice front row is exceptional and they have decent reserves, really there's a fall off, particularly at tight head, if you lose Tadhg. You know, do you switch Andrew Porter back across? Does that weaken what you do as a unit? Like, Ireland's success in November was largely built on the fact that their front row was so outstanding, and Tadhg, you know, is one of the best players, you know, he's the best player in his position in the world, he's one of the best pound for pound players in any position in the world. I know your listeners in particular will be invested in making it because he's the local hero, but, you know, he is a national hero and he's such an important player to Ireland, and that's a really big concern that he isn't able to play against Bath tomorrow, even though they're playing it down. You want to see him there. You want to see him, you know, actually named to be sure that he's going to make it, because he's so important to Ireland.
Yeah, we'll get the Bridget's crosses and everything and just keep the fingers crossed and hope that he can make an impact, certainly. And as you say, it does create a few more knock-on problems, especially Andrew Porter going back to number three. So certainly it's something that Andy Farrell won't want to see, and he'll be hoping that there'll be a positive injury update very soon. Some also reports today that Owen Farrell won't be available for England, or he's certainly a doubt anyway. They finished fifth last season, so heading to Twickenham is always a big journey for Irish rugby fans, and it's always something that you mark down on the calendar every 2 years when it comes around. Do we expect them to be as bad as they were last year, or can we see a resurgence in Eddie Jones's side, and should we be a little worried heading to Twickenham this year?
There's so much water to go under the bridge before we go to Twickenham that it's really hard to set your sights on that just yet. I think England had a decent November and obviously beat the world champions South Africa, which will give them huge confidence, even if that wasn't the greatest performance. Farrell was dropped by the Lions for the final test. He hasn't, you know, he probably had his worst year last year, and he's got the emergence of a bright new thing in Marcus Smith, who's come from Harlequins, who's won the Premiership, who's like just the cause celebre across England. He's Eddie Jones's man now at 10. But there's, you know, Farrell is still the captain, and he's kind of become almost, I saw the Telegraph had a story this week that, you know, that England need to learn from Ireland's experience with Johnny Sexton and not become too reliant on Owen Farrell. So him being injured, like, I don't know if this will solve a problem for Eddie Jones, but certainly it's the big talking point in England at the moment. You know, how does he fit Farrell in? You know, how does he, you know, does, is he too reliant on Owen Farrell at this stage? He's moved an awful lot of his World Cup team on, and, you know, the Vunipolas and others. He's missing Manu Tuilagi, who's so important. When England play well, he's often the catalyst for that. Look, they're always very good. They've got too many players not to be strong. And they got, you know, they play Scotland first. They've got a bit of revenge in mind there. I don't think they'll finish as low as they did last time, but they have to go to Paris in their final game. I think France are the biggest threat. And you know, I think Ireland, you know, for all we can think about Twickenham in round four, but really, I think we should hone in on the second round in Paris, get over Wales in round one. Wales are the champions, and, you know, I've made the mistake in the past and, you know, often do of underestimating what Wales can produce when it comes to international rugby. But at home, Ireland would be confident of beating Wales. But Paris in round two really is the one that will be a massive litmus test. The two teams who beat the All Blacks last November in such style as well, that's a real game to look forward to, and a real test of whether Ireland's November was as good as we thought it was.
Well, listen, Rory, it's absolutely going to be an amazing tournament, and hopefully, like you say, we might have some fans back in the stands as well, which would make it just that little bit more... Is it probably France's to lose? I know, obviously, Wales going in as defending champions, but this French team just seems to get better every single week. And when you've got the likes of, you know, DuPont and, you know, a 42-man squad for them to choose from, pretty much all of them stars, is this France's tournament to lose, maybe?
They're certainly the favourites. I think, as I said before, there's four or five teams that are very, very evenly matched who can beat each other. I think every year people say it's the most competitive Six Nations they've ever seen. The last couple of years have been very tight. France are at home to Ireland and England. They've got three home games. That probably suits them, because I think England and Ireland are probably the closest teams to them in terms of quality. France have incredible depth across the breadth of their squad. You know, Toulouse have had a COVID outbreak this week. Their game is off against Cardiff. A lot of players for Toulouse that will also be playing for France. Will that affect the build-up? It's hard to know. It's like some players might not be able to link up. That might just set them back. But they kick off against Italy, so that shouldn't derail them too much. France are the team to beat. Ireland, I think, have a very, very good chance of winning the Six Nations, even though they go to their two most difficult away venues, if Furlong is fit. I mean, he is really the key to everything. If they have that front row, I think they can take anyone. But France will be, you know, it's all about Paris. It's all about getting over. Well, so, you know, you got to beat Wales, but once you do that, it's all about that away win in Paris. That opens the door to the rest of the tournament. Obviously, bonus points and things will be a factor. I don't see there being a Grand Slam this year. But yeah, you're right. France are, I think, the strongest team. And this squad have been building towards the World Cup next year. Claiming a Six Nations along the way, I think, will be quite important to their development. So they'll see this as a really key stage in that World Cup journey.